Okay, let's join together in another prayer as we prepare our hearts for God's Word. Let's pray together. Well, thank you for loving us, just the gift of this worship time, for worship and Word. Help us, Lord, to respond to your truth in faith, in obedience, and as your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, we pray to the glory and in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, did we get everybody? Do we need to? Ann Barrett, would you mind just checking back over there? Because I think I saw some kids going back that way. As we start a new school year, I thought it'd be fitting. It's kind of the start of ministries, new ministry time, season, and school year. I thought I would just do a kind of a practical message today on how to start your day. I think that's a very important thing for us to consider. Henry Ward Beecher, who was an American pastor, and he lived from 1813 to 1887, he has famously said, "The first hour of the morning is the rudder of the day." That is to say, it gives direction to the day. Christianity is certainly about lifelong decisions, commitments, surrenders, callings, salvation, and faith. But it's also daily cultivation. Christianity is daily discipleship. It's a daily walk with God. It is daily cultivation. So just briefly this morning, I want to just share some highlights on how to start your day. Number one, get up. Get up in the morning. You got to get up. That's the hardest part, y'all. But you got to get up. I'm telling you, you got to get out of bed. Everyone is different. I know that. Everyone is different. But we really should rise early enough for a time that I want to get to in just a moment about starting the day with God. We should certainly listen to our bodies, but only to a degree. Too little sleep is bad for the body and bad for your spirit. Too much sleep is bad for the body and bad for your spirit. So we all have to kind of learn that, kind of where we are physically and spiritually with our needs, and I'll leave that to you. But I do notice in the scripture this statement, "And he got up early." And he rose early. I see that in the life of Abraham, Jacob, same statement, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Elisha, Hezekiah, etc., and of course, Jesus. Proverbs 20:13 says, "If you love sleep, you will end in poverty." Proverbs 6 says, "Take a lesson from the ants, lazy bones. Learn from their ways, become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands, and then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber." That's Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. You need to read through those. Those are good verses. And I think it's important when we get up not to practice. We want to establish some good habits or a good routine in the morning, but we should be careful that we deal with some bad habits too. Let me give you just a few that I think can be considered bad. And bad morning habits just make us stumble through the day. As one guy said, the way you get up is the way you show up. So we need to learn how to get up in the morning. But first of all, planning your day in the morning is usually not a good idea. Now, everybody's different. I'm not being dogmatic here. I'm just giving you a few thoughts. It's best to plan the day before and to give yourself some space between planning and execution. So that's for me. I try to plan my next day the day before, so I'm not planning out the day early in the morning. I know I have to execute the day or the plan, but at least I give myself some space there. The second thing, and I don't want to go to meddling, and if this is meddling, just just brush me aside. But I think we need to be careful. The first thing we do in the morning is start looking at emails and social media and that sort of thing. I think we ought to be careful doing that. That can, I don't know, that's not the best way to get started with good thinking often. So, again, I'll leave that to you. But we must learn to stop this stressful rushing first thing in the morning. You know, your brain and my brain loves to think about problems. I don't know if you've noticed that. Think about what's right first thing in the morning before your brain begins to drag you into all of the problems or about what's wrong. Take a deep breath. Be grateful before your feet even hit the floor. When my eyes open in the morning, I want the first thought for me to be, before I even hit the floor, is, oh God, thank you. I praise you, I offer you my thanks. And do this as you get up. And then the second thing is simply start your day with God. Start your day with God. It's easy to get up, caught in the rush, forgetting to take time on that which is the most important relationship we have, and that is the relationship with our Creator. And by starting your day with God, we set the tone for the rest of the day. And we allow space for His presence in all we do. Now, whether you're a morning person or not, and some people are morning people and some are not, there are ways to start the day with God. Luke 21:38 says, the crowds gathered at the temple early each morning to hear him, talking about Jesus. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early on Sunday morning. And I think we can take those two verses and realize that this is for us too. We can gather in his presence and meet the resurrected Lord early in the morning to hear him, or sometime in the morning to hear him. Psalm 57:8, look at this. Wake up, my heart. O lyre, wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. Let us wake up the morning with our praise. Psalm 5 and verse 3. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. This is developing a habit of starting each day with God or in his presence. And when you do, you will have a source of strength to draw upon all day long. This will help you stay centered and grounded and anchored. And it's a way to invite the Holy Spirit into your daily activities and to be a guide throughout the day and a source of strength and wisdom. And when you start your day with God, you do something else. You acknowledge from the very beginning that he is the source of your life. He is the source of all that is good in your life. We express gratitude for what he's done. This attitude of thankfulness first thing in the morning will cultivate a heart of joy and contentment throughout the day. If we give this routine a chance, it's also an opportunity, first thing, to align ourselves with God and with his will for our lives. It's a way of saying, I surrender to your day. Now, there are plans, there's a dynamic to everyone's day, but in this sense, we're surrendering to him. There will be opportunities that he sends our way as we seek his direction. And finally, it's just a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual discipline that can help us just develop a deepening relationship with God. A great old hymn, When Morning Gilds the Sky, is written in 1828. When morning gilds the sky, our heart's awaking cry, may Jesus Christ be praised. In all our work and prayer, we ask his loving care, may Jesus Christ be praised. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher in London, said, in the morning is the fittest time for fellowship with God. While the dew is on the grass, let grace drop upon the soul. Let us give to God the mornings of our days. Prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. Devotion should be both the morning star and the evening star. We're going to talk about how to end your day next Sunday. Now, psychologists tell us, and they vary, but only slightly, that it takes about 3 weeks to develop a new habit, or to deal with a bad habit, or to develop a good habit or a new habit, and then another three weeks to really solidify that down the road. Our prayer should be, Lord, I commit myself to beginning each day with you, whether that's 3 minutes or 30 minutes, whether it's 5 minutes or 1 minute. We commit ourselves to beginning our day with you, no matter the cost. And Lord, I'm dependent on you to help me make this a consistent routine. Now, before I go any further, let me say I'm not giving you another law that you have to obey. I'm not giving you another law. We dare not make an idol out of these quiet time moments. I'll never forget, I was in Orlando, Florida at a conference when I first started preaching. So, you know, just a few years ago. And we were at a conference, Cindy and I, and Cindy comes out of the bathroom and down this big hallway, she runs into Adrian Rogers, the great Baptist preacher in Memphis, Tennessee, who preached at Bellevue Baptist Church for so long. She said, "You're Adrian Rogers." And he said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "My husband loves you, and you're like a mentor from a distance from him." And he said, "Well, let's go meet him." So they come down. I'm already sitting down, and Cindy taps me on the shoulder, and she said, "Jeff, here's Adrian Rogers." And I said, "Yep, that's Adrian Rogers." So we talked for a minute, and I said, "You know, I'd love to come see you sometime." I was living in Tupelo at the time. He said, "Come see me." So I went. A few weeks later, I met with Adrian Rogers in his office. His office was about the size of this sanctuary, and that was some office. I walked in, and we started talking. And I remember he said something, the one thing that really has never left me about our conversation. I asked him many questions and so forth about preaching and pastoring and so forth. And I said, "Well, I know, Dr. Rogers, that the most important thing to you is your time with the Lord." He said, "No." He said, "The most important thing to me is the Lord." And see, he was differentiating having just some rote ritual and a relationship. And that's important. And you know, you and I need to think about that more, I believe. Our relationship with God, our relationship with Him, it's not just a rote, ritualistic thing. Although that can help, that can be helpful to have disciplined times. The most important thing is the Lord. And we want to build our relationship with Him. We want immediate, I know this is true for me, and for so many people today, we want immediate results. We have very little taste for the long game. But we need to understand that small changes over morning after morning, as we stack mornings together, can prove great results and dividends in the future. You know, we abandon an exercise program and a new diet after a week because we don't see the results we want. Much of life is about the long game. It's about stacking mornings together. Just the few moments in the morning that we have to begin our day. That will do more for you on a daily and consistent basis than you can imagine. Eugene Peterson said in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, and that's discipleship. It's just a long obedience in the same direction. Following Jesus. He said this, "There's a great market for religious experience in our world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what earlier generations called holiness and discipleship. Religion in our time has been captured by the tourist mindset. Religion is understood as a visit to an attractive site to be made when we have adequate leisure." When a daily walk with Jesus is what Christianity is all about. And so I simply say, let us begin our days with Jesus. Michael Kelly, who's the director of a discipleship resource that we've used here before called Rooted, wrote this. "One of the things we should be praying for most as we pursue Jesus is very simple, perseverance. It is the resolve to keep going day after day with him. To keep going, not because it feels good. To keep going, not because we see immediate gains. To keep going, not because the road is downhill before us. No, it's the resolve to keep putting one foot in front of the other, many times plodding along because God is faithful. And we believe we will see the full result of that faithfulness only in a lifetime, not in a moment. So let's give him our moments that we might build a lifetime. Vince Lombardi, the great Hall of Fame coach for the Green Bay Packers, he had what he called the Trinity of football success. And the number one in his Trinity of football success, number one, repetition. Repetition. I'm going to give you the other two next Sunday. You just get reps. It's just reps over and over again, a daily walk with the Lord. And you never know how he's going to use these moments, moment by moment, to build a life out of that. 40 years ago, in 1984, there was a movie called The Karate Kid. Has anybody ever watched that? Have you ever watched The Karate Kid? Some of you? Well, it's the story of a young teenager who is training by a Japanese mentor or master. He's teaching him karate for the first time. And so he goes to his master's house to learn karate. And his master gives him several chores to do. He tells him, first of all, to paint the fence. You remember that? He said, paint the fence with long strokes, the big boards with your right hand and the small boards with your left hand. And so he was painting. And then he said that he needed to sand the floor. Big circles, sanding the floor. Outside and inside, sanding his floor. And then wax the car, wax on and wax off. And then he told him to paint the house side to side. He had to paint the house. And about when he was through painting the house, this young kid had enough of all that. He said, I haven't learned anything about karate. And then the master showed him what that consistent emotion had taught him about karate. It had shown him these moves to block and these particular moves that he would use in learning the motions of a good karate block or a punch and so forth. And these daily walks that we have with God, these daily moments with God, it's just brushstrokes after brushstroke after brushstroke. It's sanding the floor. It's wax on, wax off. Whereas God is doing something in our hearts that we can't even perceive sometimes that would lead to something great. The final thing I would say is we need to develop a pattern. I have not left myself enough time to go into this. Maybe I can go into a little more next week. But we should keep the morning simple. I've given you one pattern that Dr. Rogers used to give his congregation called PACE. Remember that? P-A-C-E. P-A-C-E is an acronym. You begin with praise, and then you accept what the Lord has for you. Then you give him control of your life, and then you have expectations for the day. I have come up with one for myself that I use. I call it AWAKE. AWAKE is another acronym. The A is for adoration and praise and thanksgiving. So I give myself a minute to do that. This is just 5 minutes to begin my day. Awake, adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. The W is for word. I'll take a scripture, just a few verses to get into my heart. The other A is alignment. I want to align my heart with God in that moment before my day even begins. And maybe with that scripture, it may be something I need to confess or something I need to receive as a promise. I just need alignment in my life. The K is for knowledge. It'll be a time there where I might read a little further or read a devotional, get some more knowledge, spiritual reading, spiritual knowledge. And then my last word is E for expectation. That's how I want to begin my day. And it may be something brief. It may be something much longer. But that's just a simple plan. Let me give you three verses to close this morning. Psalm 143, verse 8. I want you to take these three verses and live with them for the next week. And Lord willing, we'll meet up again next Sunday and tell me how this does. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning. Pray that each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. That's the way you start your day. Lord, I need to hear of your love this morning. And then I trust you, Lord. I want to trust you. Show me where to walk. I give myself to you. That's how you can begin a morning. The next verse from our scripture reading, verse 9, rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Before you even start your day, you're asking God to deliver you, to rescue you. You're saying, Lord, you are my refuge. I run to you to hide me. I run to you as my refuge. And then verse 10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Lord, teach me to do your will today. I acknowledge you as my Lord. And then may your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing this day. Now, those are just a few verses. This is just one example of how we can begin our days with God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the gift of your word, for the gift of a relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to cultivate that relationship on a daily basis. And early, Abraham met with you. The morning he gave to you. The same for David and Moses and our Lord Jesus. Oh God, help us to meet with you. Resurrected Christ, you said you will never leave us or forsake us. Help us to know of your presence by your precious Holy Spirit as we give you our days, our moment by moment, and you are working something wonderful to the glory of your name. And we pray it in the precious name of Jesus, the Lord of all lords. Amen.